You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Day of March, year's 2020, in case you haven't looked in a while. Yeah, all the way up to there. Hope you're having a good morning. And a lot of stuff in the news today. Chef will join us in about an hour. So that's always exciting. But I want to, so last night I was up, I don't know, kind of late. I've tried to stay up later, hoping that it will help me sleep through the night. So, yeah, so far it doesn't work that well. But such is life. So I'm texting with my nephew and my cousin Tom, my nephew Jim, my cousin Tom. So we're talking, and my nephew posts this. Okay, and I looked at it, and at first I thought it was like, this is not true or anything like that, right? I mean, it's like, it's a joke, right? The answer to that is no. It was said in seriousness. So this is a report, if you didn't hear about it, this is a report on MSNBC. It's a discussion between Brian Williams, right? Used to be the anchor of the NBC Nightly News before he got caught fabricating personal achievements in Iraq, right? Risking his life covering the news and all that kind of bullshit, which turned out to be a lie. And I can't remember what else he got caught doing, but it was good. And so he was dismissed. So anyhow, he wasn't dismissed. Well, he was dismissed, and now he's being rehabilitated, working on a program called The 11th Hour or something like that. So Brian Williams still making his living at NBC. He's doing the news. Okay, now, this story is awesome, okay? And he's interviewing a woman by the name of Mara Gay. Now, let me tell you who Mara Gay is. Mara Gay does not come without credentials. She's a member of the New York Times editorial board. She writes about the state of New York and local affairs. She came to the New York Times in 2018. Before that, she was a city hall reporter for the Wall Street Journal, covering Mayor de Blasio, Mayor Bloomberg. All right, Ms. Gay worked for the New York Daily News, The Atlantic, and The Daily, all digital newspapers owned by News Corp. She has a degree in political science from the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. She's a New York City native. All right. Story she's written in the last couple weeks. March 5th, Why Southern Democrats Save Biden. March 3rd, Mike Bloomberg heads south. February 15th, give the new bail reform law time to work. If you haven't read that, that's a joke, right? January 24th, Mike Bloomberg is playing true to type. And the headline of the story is Hubris on the Campaign Trail. January 21st headline, Mrs. Clinton, you already beat Bernie Sanders. She actually didn't. Got rigged for her. Trump is the opponent now. So anyway, so those are her headlines. Now listen to this, okay? And so what you're going to hear them discuss is math, okay? Is math. And it's amazing, absolutely positively amazing, that you're talking about two people in public life who do reporting, both she and Brian Williams supposedly do reporting that has a fidelity to the truth. Okay? And so, but listen to this. And then I want you to consider this as they go through this little math problem they do. You have producers, right, that are sitting in control rooms that are listening to this and monitoring this. You have executives sitting there watching this. Okay, so listen to this.
But you see it as a possibility if he wants to spend $1 billion beating this guy, he could do it.
Now, we're talking about Mike Bloomberg, okay? So this is what the discussion is about.
Absolutely. Somebody tweeted recently that actually with the money he spent, he could have given every American $1 million.
I've got it. Let's put it up on the screen. When I read it tonight on social media, it kind of all became clear. Bloomberg spent $500 million on ads, U.S. population, 327 million. Don't tell us if you're ahead of us on the math. He could have given each American $1 million and have had lunch money left over. It's an incredible way of putting it.
It's an incredible way of putting it. It's true. It's disturbing. It does suggest, you know, what we're talking about here, which is there's too much money in politics. And it makes it difficult because what we want in
Okay. I mean, that's on like Brian Williams' show. So when you actually do the math, you can look at it one of two ways. It's either $1.87 a person, right? I'm sorry. I mean, it's $1.53 a person. Or if you put it into a spreadsheet, it's $327 trillion to give everybody $1 million. Okay? I mean, seriously. You listen to that and you're just like, are you kidding me? Come on, man. Didn't that didn't break squelch with anybody that said, no, 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 no. That guy did that either to make other people look stupid or because he's stupid. But no, nobody questions it, right? Nobody questions it. So anyway, later on, Brian Williams makes a statement. Turns out Mara and I got the same grades in math. Ha 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 ha. Real funny, Brian. I'm speaking of the tweet we both misinterpreted. He could give each American $1. Again, I didn't have it in high school. I didn't have it tonight. I stand corrected. Sorry about that. The tweet is wrong. Garbage in, garbage out. I mean, seriously, I don't know. Somebody who's like, I don't know, moderately educated doesn't catch that. My nephew sends it to me and I'm like, what? And then I watch a video and I was just sitting there laughing. And these are the people that shape your news, that write your news for you. Idiots. Absolutely, positively, you know, idiots. Now, I'll tell you, I look for things that surprise me, okay? Now, I don't know that I've ever done this, and so bear with me when I do this. One of the things that, as I was up late last night watching the news, I was watching Sean Hannity's program, and I never do that because I don't like Sean Hannity. Okay. But Karl Rove strikes me, you know, he and James Carville, right, are the same people. Different bodies. Okay. But they're the same people. They're the political, like, precinct, you know, demographics. They're those people, the data people, right? That how do you put this together? What group do you put together to make this thing win? That they're those people. So Karl Rove was coming on. Now, I want you to ignore Sean Hannity's voice, okay? Okay, but I found this really, really interesting. And the story behind it is Republican voter turnout in states where there was nothing to turn out for, right? So why would Republican voter turnout be higher than Democratic voter turnout in like these hugely competitive, you know, all this at stake if you're a Democrat? So I want you to listen to this. I found this like crazy. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead, listen to it when it doesn't play. Here he is.
I carved that wooden bowl myself.
No, he's not.
I put up a shelf once.
Here it is. Ignore Hannity.
Karl Rove is with us. Let's go to those numbers in particular. That would say there's very strong enthusiasm, Carl. That's my interpretation.
I want you to think about this. There's no race in Texas on the Republican side. No, we got some congressional primaries, but no statewide race that was hotly contested. Democrats were all over the state. You could not turn on the television without seeing a Bloomberg ad. We had ads on for Bernie Sanders. We had all the major candidates coming here to Texas. This was the second biggest pot of delegates, hotly contested. Democrats turned out 2,035,708 votes. Republicans, 2,080,000. Now, Tennessee, take a look at...
Okay, so that's 2,035,000 for the Democrats. Republicans, with nothing at stake, 2,080,000. So 45,000 more Republicans turned out to vote, right, than Democrats turned out to vote in Texas. I mean, I saw that. I was like, are you kidding me?
Look at this. Democrat turnout, hot election, 515,000. Republicans, no contest. No race. The president didn't even appear there. He didn't have any of his challengers there. He got like 90% plus of the vote. Nearly 800,000 people turned out to support him. I suspect over tonight at the Trump headquarters, they're carefully analyzing these results because it is a gold mine for them in this respect. They now have a powerful tool to identify. They now know the low propensity voters who didn't vote in 2018, who are excited enough to come out in the primaries. And they also know who are the low propensity voters who didn't vote, who are for Trump, so they can focus their efforts on them. So all these people who showed up said, I'm going to count on me in November. And so they're able to say, OK, well, these were the low propensity votes we were worried about who came out. Let's worry about the rest of the pool.
Amazing, right? And so to me, that's why, you know, things that break squelch for me, like Carville going off on the Democratic Party and Chris Matthews before he was fired. Right. When people say things that, you know, strike me as like, you know, the truth, it always gets my attention, you know. And for whatever reason, Carville has been, you know, laying the wood to the Democratic Party about, you know, if you nominate a socialist, he will not win. There's only one candidate in this field, and it's Joe Biden, whether we like it or not. And everybody better get behind his ass because Bernie Sanders is not going to win. So, anyway, I just thought that was interesting. And honestly, not only interesting, but stunning. Right? As stunning as Brian Williams' stupidity. And that girl, I mean, she's been a reporter for the Wall Street Journal, New York Times. 327 million. I don't know how both of them miss something like that. I don't know how everybody sitting in the control room misses it. And you know how they found out? It starts blowing up on Twitter. They're being ridiculed on Twitter. That's how they found out. So that that interesting. I want to talk about if I was a liberal. If I was a liberal, how I'd run for president. What I would do is, I mean, you hear Bernie Sanders just railing on Wall Street, right? I would, my pitch, were I a liberal, would be, and I'll tell you what, or whether, were I a conservative, which I am, I would be this, right? It's the economy, stupid, right? You got to make the economy go. If you make the economy go, then guess what? All boats are lifted. That's the ticket. The ticket is making the economy go. So, as a let's just say I believe in the American dream, and I believe that the American dream should be accessible to everybody, right? So that if you're financially disadvantaged, or however we want to define disadvantage, we have programs. We got to fund those things. How do we fund them? We got to fund them by Wall Street being a monster, being the capitalist monster engine, the capitalist monster truck, if you will, right, of the world. How do you do that? You got to help Wall Street go. You got to make Wall Street go. Now, not you don't want to allow them to abuse anybody or anything. I got that. But you've got to kick down doors, barriers in places like China, in places like the European Union. You got to kick those doors down, because the people that get hurt, the people that have gotten hurt by all those shitty deals we've made. And again, NAFTA. I'll just give you an example. Mexico doesn't have OSHA. They don't have Social Security. So all we do when we say, yeah, we're going to break down all the, you know, no tariffs, we just say that, okay, you can have a competitive advantage to sell into our country. And we put our own people out of business. And I don't care if you're talking about farm production, right? Mexican avocados come in cheaper. Well, guess what? Right? Who's going to own the market? Who's going to get driven out of the market? Can't stay in the market. I got to go do something else. What factories, when they don't have the Environmental Protection Agency, they don't have OSHA, they don't have any of that. And so there's no adjustment for any of those products to come into our country. That's not free trade. That's not fair trade. You're penalizing your producer because they're located in the United States. We're not supposed to do that. So to me, the trick is you've got to light the economic engine of the United States. And we've seen how robust it is. I mean, hell, there's a jobs report out this morning that February blew up in terms of jobs. You know, economists were expecting, what, hold on, I'll get the report, like 150,000 jobs? And the thing blew up to 250, 275? 273,000 jobs expected to be like in the 150s or something like that. So that's the underlying strength of the American economy. It keeps growing. So when you light that son of a bitch off, you can pay for other programs. All boats rise. Everything's good. But you can't keep, you know, you can't keep American business hostage and think that you're going to fund all these social programs. Doesn't work like that. So to me, if were I a liberal, and if I was liberal, I'd say the same thing. Man, I'm going to ride Wall Street's back. I'm going to help them make money, and we're going to peel some of that money off, and we're going to help everybody. But it cannot go, mind you, without, you know, big business going. That's, you know, and that's what Donald, you know, in my opinion, that's one thing Donald Trump understands, man. The American economy's got to go. He's a businessman, as opposed to being a career politician. A career politician. And I think that, again, last night, my daughter Catherine came over for dinner. Colleen had a swim meet. And so after the swim meet, Catherine came over for dinner. Mike's wife Susan came over for dinner. So we're talking politics, you know, and what a douchebag Trump is. And I said, look, I don't think that matters, though. And they both looked at me like, what? And I said, we don't need... You know, Barack Obama was a wonderful human being. He was a horrible president. But everybody likes Barack Obama, right? He's a nice guy, but he's a weak president. The things he did by executive order, and they've all been undone. What is his legacy? Nice guy as a president, right? Everybody loved him. Not a good president. Okay, so I don't think we need, right, a paragon of virtue as a president of the United States. It would be nice if they were Jack Armstrong, for those of you who know who Jack Armstrong was, you know, or is. But it's not necessary. You got to get somebody that makes the economy go and fights for the American worker and keeps the country strong. Whether you like it or not, that's what Donald Trump has done. And again, I don't like the dude personally. And so, but as a president, what do we need? That's what we need. And you hear Bernie Sanders railing on Wall Street and all that kind of stuff. No, he should say, I'm going to be their best friend because they're going to be my best friend because they're going to fund all the stuff I want to do. And here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to kick down every door around this country, around the world, you know, that will not let us trade. I'm going to go to war with other countries that will not offer us fair trade. Okay, fair trade. And let me tell you what my idea of fair is. You're going to pay to come into the United States because I'm going to protect our producers. Because let me tell you what our producers are. Those are jobs that support American families. And if I don't protect them, then what do? I take those jobs away. And where do they go? Into the service sector for the rest of their lives? Because we don't have, so the American dream doesn't exist anymore. Yeah, anyway. I think career politicians suck. I do. I think we need more business people in government. Because they're like, no, I'm not having it. Well, you know, this, that, and the other thing. No. Bend it. Fix it. Do it different. I don't give a shit. But I'm not doing it like that anymore. So, anyway, were I a liberal or were I a conservative? That's how I do it. You got to have the economy, though. It's the economy, stupid. The other thing I want to talk about is there's an article. Well, maybe I won't do that yet. I'll do that after, like, we finish opening the program. Okay. There's an article that's from In the Hill today. And it's about a survey done by the Iraq and Afghan Veterans of America, the IAVA, Iraq Afghans Veterans of America. Top vet group survey, 44% report suicidal thoughts since joining the military. I want to talk about that. Okay. I want to talk about that. I want to give an explanation for that. I'm going to give you the path to that. Yeah. Old Mac laying out the path. Okay. So Whitney Houston sings the national anthem this morning. A very good Friday morning to you.
Sure.
I don't know if I haven't heard that in a while, but it seems like I haven't. And she does that really good, man. She does that really good. This is dedicated to some people I'm working on with that are doing good things. One is a guy named James Moran, and he's their program's called Bar X. You'll hear from him next week. And so James brings guys together for weekends, and so post-traumatic winning, hopefully going to get involved in that. And their concept is they bring battle buddies back together. You don't come as an individual. You know, Tim Lynch talks about going to one, and, you know, he signed up for and went and hung out with veterans. Didn't know anybody. And so you can imagine how cool it is to go hang out with your battle buddies. And so we'll talk to him about that. Also to a guy named James Ferguson. And Ferg, I've known for a while, but he's head of the Warrior Reunion Foundation. And they help people do reunions. And so post-traumatic winning hopefully going to be part of that as well. So, and then hopefully, I don't know, down the road we'll form something and invite other people to be a part of it. And here's the prototype. And I believe that those guys have a lock, in my opinion, on the prototype. And the prototype is go with your friends. The prototype is post-traumatic winning. So that when you leave, you have a mission for the rest of your life. And you're doing it with buddies that you can talk to about it. And so, life-changing experience. So, this is dedicated to them.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, time for us to head around the world and check the weather. Currently in Quantico, cloudy and 48. So cooling off on the East Coast. They had rain mostly yesterday. Partly sunny and 56 at Camp Lejeune. 29 Palms continues warm, right? 63 degrees under sunny skies right now. Marine Corps Base Camp Pendleton, cloudy and 53. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark cloudy and 69. Okinawa, dark cloudy and 60. early in the evening in Afghanistan. They haven't changed here much. Clear dark in 56 in Lashkar Gah, and in Ramadi in Al Anbar in Iraq, it is dark cloudy in 71, so Iraq has warmed up. Currently here at the corporate headquarters of All Marine Radio, it is cloudy in 59. Looking for a high of 67 today. 63 tomorrow with rain overnight. And then on Sunday, partly sunny and a high of 66 degrees. That is a look at your weather here on a Friday. Don't touch that dial. We're going to check news headlines. I want to talk about a report from the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America talking about suicide. So we'll get to that next. Don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs at allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit veteranscrisisline.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Some shithole weather updates that I forgot. In Hickory, North Carolina, currently 36 and windy, raining. Some sun in the afternoon, a high of 49. Winds between 20 and 30. Chance of rain, 60%. The winds gusting over 40 miles an hour. Overnight low, 36. Uh, And there's a weekend safety brief on the first sergeant. Up in Saskatchewan, sun cloud mix forecasted for Church Bridge. Winds are out of the south, gusting to 22. Sun provides heat in addition to light. Currently 28. Afternoon going to be 39 degrees above. Yeah, how about that? And from Vacaville, Dave sent a picture of his dog in his truck. Currently 54, partly cloudy. Winds 9 to 15 out of the northeast. Looking for high of 64 degrees today. The, you know, people, the economy, right? The economy's strong, right? I mean, not a whole lot anybody in the country could do about the coronavirus except stay at home. And stay at home and, you know, wait for this thing to get contained. I saw somebody, a headline that said, reminds the airline industries of, you know, life post 9/11, right? When, you know, the American public was not flying very much. And so, you know, it's not like we haven't been down these roads before. So, anyway, but I will tell you this. There's an element of exploitation in the media to this, right? Again, the more hysterical, the more shrill, right? China hasn't fallen off the planet yet, right? Which is where this thing started. What happened? What's going on? Japan right next door, right? Hasn't fallen off the planet. Now, let me tell you who got a chance to fall off the planet is North Korea, but we haven't heard anything out of them. The other thing that I saw in the news the other day that interested me, that Michael Bloomberg spent $500 million trying to buy an election. Couldn't do it. Yet we had a meltdown when the Russians spent $200,000 on ads on Facebook. I thought, oh, that's moderately interesting, right? That's moderately interesting. So, yeah, I don't know why that hit me. And I thought, oh, I mean, we investigated it. $200,000 in the sea of Facebook, right? And we somehow or other thought that impacted the election. And here's a guy who does his best to buy one. Spends $500 million and doesn't get anything for his effort. You know, just nothing but an attaboy for his effort. Article in a place in a website called The Hill. Top vet group survey. 44% report suicidal thoughts since joining the military. Now, a certain percent of this said they had those thoughts prior to joining the military. All right. Only 10% saying that they had thought about it prior to military service. So, right, you have an increase of 34% who say they thought about it once they joined the military. Why? Only 15% of those surveys said the U.S. is making progress on combating military and veteran suicide. 67% of the respondents said they had personally known a post 9/11 veteran who has attempted suicide, up from 65% in 2019. So 67% in 2020 as opposed to 65% in 2019, and 54% in 2015. 62% of those polled said they personally know a veteran who has died by suicide, up from 59%. In 2019, and up from 45% in 2014, and 45% in 2015, and 40% in 2014. All right. Iraq, Afghanistan, Veterans of America members were on Capitol Hill this week for a fly-in event for veterans to meet with lawmakers to lobby on behalf of the post-9/11 generation of veterans. So let me tell you, in my opinion, how this happens. Let's start with active duty. Okay, they grew up in a culture that lies to them. They grew up in a culture that says, yeah, we really care about your feelings. And then they get into the world with this world that's been constructed around them that's so sensitive to their feelings. And what do they come to learn? Nobody cares about my feelings. So imagine the shock when, now imagine you join the military. So now you leave home. And let's just say, let's just break down leaders, right? What percentage of leaders in the United States military are really great? 10, 15%? What percentage is above average? Good leaders. All right. I don't know. 30? So now there's 45% are good or above. What percentage are okay? I don't know. Another 30 are okay. So where does that leave you? 75%. So then you got 20 down from poor to horrible. Okay, so you leave home, you've been lied to, and now you come on active duty, and you're the person who you interact with that supervises you the most is a couple years in front of you. The senior people you don't see, you get text messages from them, you know, at various times during the week. But you don't see them. You're not led by them. You're led by some novice that's a couple years ahead of you. And they're not really that good. And so can you see, like, what did I do to myself? What did I do to myself? That cell phone that supposedly connects everybody, that's not what that thing does. At the end of the day, it is a device that divides. Yeah, look at the trends in our society. We don't know people. We don't talk to them. We don't have relationships with them. Teenagers having less sex than they've ever had since they started recording that. Yeah, crazy. So to me, you want to know why the active duty thing is? There's your active duty explanation right there. And I know because I hear it all time. I hear, and when you talk about, well, Mac, what about all the mental health programming? Okay, I'm going to play for you a couple of little clips right now. And one of them is Matt Kuiker. I won't play the whole clip for you. And I want you to listen to what he says. This is Matt Kuiker. Okay. And I play this when in the post-traumatic winning presentation. I play this when I talk about... Everybody here is a member of one of two groups. Either you're already dealing with it in your life, or you're going to deal with it. Matt Kuiker was already dealing with it. I want you to listen to the part where when he says, when he got told he had to come to my class. All right, so here's Matt.
Hi, everyone. I'm Matt Kuiker. Let me give you a little background on me. My father committed suicide on the phone with me, my mom, and my brother. When I was 9 years old. Before then, though, I lost my uncle to, he got T-boned outside the road trying to get a crack rock. And then before that, my uncle also killed my aunt in front of everyone.
His first uncle, he says, he got T-boned off the side of the road, right, when he was running across the street to get a crack rock. That's what he said.
Not her. After I lost them, in my sixth grade year, I lost one of my good friends, Victor, to suicide. He hung himself and wrote a letter and stated out why he did it. And he wrote out that I was one of his only friends, and he thanked me for being his only friend. I joined the Marine Corps. I've been with this girl for a while, about a little over 2 years. I proposed to her. Next thing you know, I find out my brother committed suicide. He jumped off my balcony at my apartment head first. There was no saving him. And I go home to bury him, and I find out when I go home that him and my fiance were sleeping together for about a year. And I didn't know about it until after he died. And I'm not going to lie, I was just like you when I walked into this class in January 2019. I didn't want to be here. I thought it was stupid. I just didn't want to do it at all. And it wasn't for me. I met Mac and...
All right. That's what I wanted you to hear. So here's a guy who desperately needs this programming, and you heard what he had to say about having to go to another one of these, you know, military don't kill yourself program. So the programming, you know, does not connect with them, period. And then they go someplace else. Okay. And normally that's not a good story. Okay. Now I want you to listen to Parker. Here's a guy who wasn't in the darkness. Okay. He didn't have a whole lot of trauma. Right. He did not have a whole lot of trauma. And, when he came to hear my class, right, I want you to listen to say, I want you to listen to what he says about when he got told he had to go to a suicide class.
Hi, everybody. I'm Parker. I'm a sergeant in the United States Marine Corps. A little bit about me. I grew up playing football, nothing really out of the ordinary, just a high school athlete. Joined the Marine Corps right after I turned 18, shipped off to boot camp. Nothing really weird going on in my life growing up, nothing traumatic whatsoever. After I got this class, my father killed himself, and I had to go back home, take care of all that, you know, whole nine yards. And I just want to say that when I was coming to get that class, I was absolutely pissed off that I had to be there. Me and my buddies were talking about how much we didn't want to be there, trying to make up excuses on how to get out of that class because we just didn't want to go. And, you know, I didn't know that sitting through that class was going to change my life.
So you have these people that so need some programming, right? They need something. They need leaders in their lives to help them. And their leaders are at the other end of a cell phone, sending them text messages. Their leaders don't see them. And the programming doesn't speak to them. You just heard two guys say, I was so pissed when I had to go. So that's the active duty component. To me, the problem of the VA, I mean, you've heard me say, I mean, there's an NYU study out that says that based on their research, between 50 to 66% of people treated do not respond to the top two protocols that the VA uses and the DOD. Yeah. Between 50 and 66%. It's amazing, right? Absolutely, positively amazing. All right? And the headline of the story, written on January 4th by Patricia Kimmy or Kime, I'm not sure which, VA DOD recommended PTSD therapies don't help many military patients. The review finds. So you do exactly what you get told, right? You go to the VA, and the stuff they recommend doesn't work. So then what? Suck it up. So they tried to. Doesn't work. But that's the reality of the world. You want to know why people think about killing themselves? You know, that's the reality. You want to know why the numbers are what they are? That's what's real. And then the problem that you have is you have the VA and the DOD teaching endurance. And, you know, I don't know that. I think that's part of the problem. So anyway, wanted to talk about that today because that caught my eye. Top five stories in Early Bird, and then we'll take a break, and the chef's going to join us. Well, let me just, top headline in Stars and Stripes today is over 100 at Aviano Air Base in Italy. In self-quarantine, others told to keep their distance in public as coronavirus precautions. So, you know, the whole world goes through a period of adjustment, right? Those of us who work from home, we work from home, right? The people that can work from home, they start working at home. People slow down their travel, just like post 9/11, right? And then somehow or other, you know, we get our hands around this stuff and it begins to be isolated. And then, you know, we, you know, somehow or other a vaccine gets developed and a treatment gets developed. And lo and behold, you know, the world, you know, gets right again. So, and again, as I said a few minutes ago, I believe, you know, the media, you know, just like they do with Liz Hurley bikini pictures, you know, there's a reason this thing is leading every story, right? And again, what sells? Reasonable reporting based on science, based on what people see in the world? No, that's not what sells. What sells is, right, is the craziness, the craziness that gets everybody's attention. You know, we were talking about the news last night. The news is not a representation of what goes on in this country on a daily basis. The news is the craziest stuff that will get you to click, that will drive their advertising rates, that helps them make money and everybody get a raise. That's what the news is about. Top story in Marine Corps Times today. PETA is pissed about cobras being killed in Thailand. The Thais would look at you and say, what? Right? So, more violence in Afghanistan. So, Secretary Pompeo says, hey, look, in order for this thing to work, the violence has to go. I thought we were beyond that. So, anyway, the road to peace in Afghanistan, not going to be easy. And that peace plan, as flawed as it is, did not, I don't think it made it any easier, because it did not force the Taliban to say, look, we will deal with the government of Afghanistan as a legitimate partner. Did not force that. It did not force that. So, yeah, I'm not, I don't think as much as we want to get out of that place, I don't think that agreement's gonna make that happen. Next, top five stories in Early Bird. Number one, Afghanistan violence must ease for peace deal with the Taliban, right? According to the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo. Number two, International Court approves investigation into Taliban, Afghan forces, and U.S. military war crimes. And appeals judges at the International Criminal Court gave the green light Thursday for prosecutions to open an investigation targeting Taliban, Afghan forces, and U.S. military and CIA personnel for war crimes and crimes against humanity. Yeah, how about that? The decision marked the first time the court's prosecutor has been authorized to investigate U.S. forces. Washington has long rejected the court's jurisdiction and refuses to cooperate with it. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo characterized the ICC's move to open the investigation as truly breathtaking action by an unaccountable political institution masquerading as a legal body. So, there you have it. Mike Pence mincing those words. Mike Pence. Mike Pompeo. Yikes. Number three, Service Surgeon General voices concern about military health care reforms. Two of the nation's top doctors said the Pentagon's effort to transform and reorganize military health system is turning out to be a complicated merger of four cultures and extremely difficult, suggesting that the Defense Health Agency isn't ready for some of the coming changes. Number five, Esper says new virus won't prevent military operations. The U.S. military and its warfighting command centers in the Pentagon are prepared to continue operation even if there's a local outbreak of the new coronavirus, Defense Secretary Mark Esper said on Thursday as the department began finalizing its response plans. So, yeah, it'll be interesting, again, as this thing continues to go. It looks like Seattle, the epicenter of all this now, right? Number five, Trump insists Taliban wants to make a deal after a surge in violence in Afghanistan. President have a phone conversation with evidently members of whatever the Taliban organization is. And so sounds very much like his comments after meeting with Kim Jong-un, who doesn't seem like he is. Doesn't seem like he is interested in anything relative to what was discussed. You know, there's one other story that I want to get to before the chef comes on, and that is a story about military housing. And how the DOD watered down. Yeah, it's a Reuters story. Now, Reuters is the organization that broke all this news, right? For those of you that recall the first stories, months ago, years ago, you know, a year, probably about 14 months ago. I want to say December of 2018 it came out. Those hearings wound up happening in, February of 2019? And that was like very dramatic TV, right, with spouses, pictures of mold, talking about the health of their children, begging people, lead paint issues, right, all of that. So here's the headline. Defense Department weakens U.S. military housing bill after consulting the industry. A sweeping U.S. military housing reform plan pitched as a way of protecting service families from shoddy homes and unresponsive landlords has been watered down to remove several protections tenants in Congress had sought. Now, I talked about this, right? There is no right to withhold your rent. You can't look at the history of the property, and there is no mechanism for conflict resolution. And it talked about Congress ordered the DOD to look into it, right, last year. Congress ordered the Defense Department to create a tenant bill of rights for military families last year. Among the key provisions required, the ability for families to withhold rent to protest unsafe conditions, to obtain full maintenance histories of their homes upon moving in, and challenging landlords through a dispute resolution process. None of those were included. None. Though the rent and the dispute resolution provisions were cited in the original draft released last March, they were not included last week in the U.S. Defense Secretary Mark Esper's unveiled tenant bill of rights. 15 other measures are going ahead as planned. The Defense Department removed the three measures after Pentagon officials sat down with private housing contractors to craft the final details. Like, what? So they got a vote? The landlords provide housing to service members under a 50-year multi-billion-dollar contracts with military branches. Department lawyers decided that because contracts are so complex, the Pentagon will have to work out the tenants' rights measures in much greater detail before including them in the Bill of Rights. Now, I saw somebody talk about this in Orlando last week. Quote, many of the... Kills me. Many of the rights set forth by Congress pertain to legal matters, so they do not lend themselves to unilateral action by the department. So I told you, I thought that the whole thing, when you pull those measures out, right, that means that whole ball of wax sucks. So I can't tell you how disappointed I am in all of that which came out to support military families. It didn't give them anything. It didn't give them anything so that they could exert any kind of leverage. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, the chef will join us. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.